Amen. I want to go to the word of the Lord. Now, that singing didn't take away from my preaching this morning. I still got the full amount of time, you know. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word of the Lord, Acts chapter 21. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Four prophesying virgins. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. So we got an evangelist, we've got four prophesying daughters, we've got Agabus coming from another city. We got lots of word here, lots of prophetic words. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Warning. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place, those four prophesying virgins, and the evangelist Philip, and these other seven that's there, besought Paul not to go to Jerusalem. You're going to get hurt. You see what he said? You're going to get bound. And Paul answered and said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord." And when we would not be persuaded, he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." I want to teach this morning from this thought, I'm going anyway. I'm going anyway. Hallelujah. Lord, bless us this morning as we endeavor to look at your word like never before. Every day is a new revelation for the day that we live in. Help us, Lord, to understand it and process it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am going anyway. Long before microchips were made and Intel had a processor, God had already put a processor called a brain inside of your noggin there. Now, some people, I think it's malfunctioned sometimes, but it even my own sometimes, I wonder, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? You know, and so we process things. See, right here, you're processing this. And while you're processing that, sometimes you're fishing too. And sometimes you're baking cakes. And sometimes you're processing. You're trying to process a lot of things. And most of the time when the thing is finished processing our thoughts, it ends up with a choice, right? You process it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all this kind of stuff, and you process till you finally come to a decision. And that's why Elijah said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve him. If Baal be God, let's serve him. Come to a decision." And the Bible says multitudes and multitudes are in the valley of decision. They have not fully processed their thoughts. Because once you reach the end product of processing something, you got a decision. Juries have got to come to a decision. A lot, if you watch game shows, they'll say, "I need your answer." You've had time to think the question over. And so Eve took the thoughts, listen close, that God said. God said, "The day you touch this, you'll surely die." God said this. She had that in her noggin. She had that in her processor, in her brain. And then along came the serpent and said, "But did you know that he's hiding something from you? And did you know that this tree, look how good it looks, and it'll make you wise?" And she began to process that along with what God said. The Bible says everything that comes from God is first pure. It's man that contaminates it. And she began to mix doubt with belief. And before long, you know what really persuaded her? It wasn't really the devil. Yes, he was there and he beguiled her. But you want me to tell you what he played in on? She wanted to do it anyway. Now, see, I'm preaching. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going anyway. So when once the devil told her something she desired anyway, I'm just going to go do it. Knowing the consequences was death and destruction and leaving the garden. I'll do it anyway. Somehow she processed it wrong. She did not look at the time frame of what the consequences would bring. And so what a processor does, it gathers all the ingredients and mixes it together in a systematic way to come out to some end. It's got to end somewhere. You know, sometimes we use the process of elimination. It's a process. Well, not you, because you're this, you're that. And we okay, you know. And you eliminate things by processing them. And so hunters, their deer season's fixing to open. They're going to kill them a pig, and they're going to kill them a deer, and they're going to mix some green stuff in there and some onions in there, and they're going to process that deer sausage. It don't start out deer sausage. You don't shoot deer sausage. But it comes out deer sausage once it is all processed. The end of processing, my brothers and sisters, is all based on time. How long do you process it? How long do you halt between two opinions? And we process lots of things in our little finite brain, but a lot of the times we fail to process the time that it takes inside of our mind, the consequences, how long they last inside of our little finite mind. And so many times we read verses and we quote them and they're like, we like them that way, so we say them that way. We often quote verses we like because they, you know. In the Bible, there's five times this is misquoted. In the process of time. Have you ever said it? In the process of time. The Bible doesn't say that. What it says, in process of time. In process of time, not in the process of time. You take the out of it, it changes it totally. In process of time. It's used five times, and it's used basically the same way every time. So when you don't use the word the in front of it, then it changes the entire meaning so that we now can understand that time is a substance just like faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without it, you will not please God. Show it to me. You won't show it to me except by my works, one said. But it must be processed. You have faith, you don't have faith. You believe God, you don't believe God. You've got to process these things you can't see inside of your mind. And time is like faith. It is a substance that you cannot see, but it must be processed. That's why it says in process of time. So faith, the Bible says, by faith the elders obtained a good report. Faith was faith was the fulfillment of their hope. Hallelujah. Faith was the fulfillment of hope. You hope for something till finally you believe that you have it. You may die in faith, but one day you receive it. They didn't. They died in faith, not having not received the promise, but they will. And time is the substance that is mixed with other things that brings about fulfillment. Without time, there is no fulfillment. So when we look at Genesis, just to give you one of the five examples, you can go look the rest of them up on your own. Genesis 4 and 3. In process of time, not in the process of the process, it is in process of time, it came to pass. When time was processed, the fulfillment came. And Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And the next verse says, and Abel brought of his firstlings. So in this example, we see that time was processed and it brought about a fulfillment. And so we understand that God gives you time to work with. Yeah. Time is an ingredient. Okay. Go bake a cake. I promise you, it'll tell you how long to bake that cake. You stir it, you see, you're processing it. You start putting a little of this, a little sugar, a little of this, and you stir it all up. That's fine. But it still, don't eat it, you know, Jell-O. My problem with Jell-O was I wanted to drink it before it ever processed. But everything that is incorporated, everything I can think of processed, takes time. And if you don't put time in the process, so in the process of time, and you don't put that in there, you'll never have anything in life. You've got to be aware of the time. And so I'm thankful, this brother said this morning, that God is long-suffering. It doesn't mean he's infinite suffering. He's long-suffering while we process. He gives us time to get our act together. So when we look at 1 Peter 3 and 20, we see this, which sometimes were disobedient. We've all been disobedient. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Sometimes we forget that it used to be us that's making the same mistakes you're getting on somebody else about. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God did what? He waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, meaning being fulfilled, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. It took Noah, the Bible says, 120 years to build the ark. You know, I don't think that's what God had in mind. I don't really believe if it would, he wouldn't have said he was long-suffering with him while it was preparing. I believe Noah got up and said, well, I don't feel like working on it today. I'm just feeling a little tired. 120 years. And God said, I'm going to let you live because you're the answer to the world's problem. Through you, I'm going to save your family. And so God was preparing you and waiting on you because through you, he's going to save all your family. Whew, my God. And sometimes I think God is long-suffering with us. We need to process the time. The Bible says that he gave Jezebel a time and a space to repent, and the woman repented not. The Bible lets us know that God is a God of time. Oh, yes. Let there be light, and there was light. And the evening and morning was the first day. And then let there be this, and the evening and morning was the second day. And he created 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. And these are the generations of heaven and earth. It became a time thing. As long as there's heaven and earth, he said there will be a seed time. There will be seasons and times and a harvest time. God is a God of time. That's why in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to mourn, a time to dance. All of these times, you have to process it with everything you do in life. God never runs out of time. We run out of time. God doesn't have to process time. You have to process time. People walk into my office all the time, about 55 years old, thinking about retiring. So I'm going to start saving for my retirement. Okay? How much can I get off this $2,500 I saved? It's all I can do to, you know, I know they're sincere. Lord, you should have started 30 years ago. You just woke up and realized you were running out of time. Well, I guess I'm going to have to work all my life. You're right. Well, you've got to process time in everything you do. Do you understand me? So Paul wrote that he wanted to go to Rome. He said, I must see Rome. He wrote it to the Romans. He said, knowing the time, it is high time that we awake out of darkness or sleep, before now is our salvation sooner than when we first believed. Let us cast off the works of darkness and take on the armor of light. It's time to do that. Hallelujah. Have you looked around at the news lately, my brothers and sisters? Have you seen what's coming upon the church, my brothers and sisters? We don't have time to act like it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. The day of Pentecost. We don't have time to do that. We've got to arm ourselves with what's going on in the light that we have. And we're doing that. Process your lifetime. Process. One man, they told him, he said, sir, what you need to do is invest in real estate investments and property for your future. He said, Lord, I'm so old, I don't buy green bananas. What do I want to buy real estate for? He finally processed the time. You need to look at where you're at in life and what time maybe you have left. Maybe. The older you get, my brothers and sisters, time will decorate your face. Time is a decorator, whether you know it or not. You can try to undecorate it all you want to. You can put ornaments on and You can do whatever you want to. But time is a decoration. And the Bible spoke of a man with a gray head, is a wise man. It spoke about what time will do. Get you a seasoned preacher. It spoke about the decorations of time. Hallelujah. You can't stop. Time is your most precious commodity, my brothers and sisters. Paul told us to walk in the wisdom of redeeming the time. Lord, you finally wake up and, Lord, what happened with the last 30 years? My God. And now I better get on it. And you redeem the time. Let me tell you, I don't want to keep making the same mistake twice. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for people that don't have time for God. I'm running out of time. Now, when I was 25 or 30 years old, okay, come on, I'll teach you, I'll keep it. I don't have time. If you're serious, I'm for you. If you're not serious, go play someplace else. I don't have time. I've processed the time, and I'm almost 50 years old. Lord, have mercy. Well, I'll leave it right there. Y'all figure it out. I'm 59. I can't wait till I get my first Social Security check. And I'm going to draw it as soon as I can because I'm running out of time. Procrastinators never run out of time. I'll do it tomorrow. I got time. Yeah, I got time. But when the bridegroom delayed the coming, some of them ran out of oil. They didn't process the time. So one thing that we need to always process, we process the good and the bad. That's what we normally process. It's good, it's bad. Let's weigh this out against this, and then we come to this decision. But you will never effectively process time because we cannot process eternity. See, if we could process that moment of pleasure that you had doing whatever it was that gave you pleasure versus eternity, you would never do it. You would never do it. But this little mind here doesn't process eternity very well. I was burning some tires, some old rubber tires. You ever burn rubber tires? Lord, they can make a fire. I thought the police was going. I thought Brother Jake might come over there to Toledo Bend and arrest me. I didn't know if there was a burn ban or not, but I was burning. And smoke on it. I looked at the fire ban. I said, Lord, how is it? If that's hell, Lord, that right there, ooh, Lord, it ought to change the way you think about lust and anger and all the things that are sin, all the works of the flesh. Just look at that fire and say, that I will be in there for eternity? It ain't worth it. But some people will do it anyway. Stay with me. See, the difference between God and Satan is this. Satan will not tell you everything. God will give you everything. Satan did not tell Eve, now you do know you're going to die when you eat this. You do know he's going to kick you out of the garden, but do it anyway, honey. That's not what he did. He left that out. He just tapped into what she already wanted anyway. But God does not operate that way. The day you eat this, you shall surely die. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Do you still want to follow me? They hated me. They'll hate you also. In this life, you have many troubles. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So God will tell you the good and the bad so you can process it. Satan doesn't do that. Eve fully knew the consequences and did it anyway. And here's my message this morning in a nutshell. Real commitment to anything, right or wrong, is when you process everything, both good and bad, and you do it anyway. I could spend a lot of time this morning talking to you about all the bad things. I could talk to you about Samson, who he laid his head in Delilah. Delilah said, I'm going to afflict you, and he did it anyway. That's real commitment. Believe it or not, that is real, wrong commitment, wrong side, but that, my friend, is real commitment to something. And so, but I'd rather talk about this morning, for the few minutes I have left, about Christian soldiers that are committed to the cause of Christ. Amen. And even though I only have a slingshot and five smooth stones, I do have the name of the Lord. And I know he's a giant. And I know y'all are scared. And I know I've never fought. But I'm going to do it anyway. And I know y'all are saying this looks stupid and it looks crazy. But I'm going to do it anyway. Woo. Such a commitment did Paul have to the calling of God that it did not matter the consequences of what these prophets and prophetesses and all the evangelists were saying. Paul, don't you know the guy that wears this is going to be bound? And they sought to stop him from doing the will of God. Your worst enemy many times are people that are supposed to be giving you advice. Godly advice. He didn't say don't go, but who wants to go into trouble? So shall the man be that wears this girdle. Well, that's me. He said, y'all breaking my heart. Because no matter what you say, I'm doing it anyway. Where are the do it anyway Christians? Where are the people that don't care what other people say? I'm doing it anyway. How you act, how you look, how you dress, where you go. I don't care what y'all think. I'm doing it anyway. I don't do it for you. I do it for him. And he was glued to the cause of God, and he would not let anything stop him. Not four prophetess that were virgins, how clean they were. That's great. And all of these agreed. You shouldn't go, Paul. I'm doing it anyway. I wonder if you could go back and you knew what trouble you would get into in that place you went to that caused so much trouble, would you have done it anyway? You say, oh, I see the good now that's come out of it. Or let's give you that same choice again now. Let's go back and give you that same choice. Would you walk into that lion's den this time? I'm afraid we wouldn't want to do it again. Even though now we see the good that came out of it, but we, you know, I don't like trouble. You know, I should, I wish if I could do that again. But let me tell you, real committed people are committed that they believe that their steps are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, I must see Rome, and I'm not going to let you stop me. You stop me. You stop me. You prophesied and said, I don't care what you said. I'm going to do it anyway. Hallelujah. Whew, I'm running out of time. Queen Esther could have said, you know, we're going to die anyway. She finally come to the place. She said, if I perish, I but perish. I'm doing it anyway. Naomi's going home, and she's telling her two daughter-in-laws, oh, go home, because I can't raise up two more kids and boys, and you married them. Just go home. I'm a bitter woman. I got nothing to live for. I'm headed back. I went out full. Now I'm going back empty. Y'all just go home. And one of them went home. And the other one said, I'm going with you anyway. Your God's going to be my God. Your place is going to be my place. Where you lodge, I'm going to be lodged. Where you buried, I'm going to be buried. Where you go to church, I'm going to church. I'm going anyway. Entreat me not. Quit trying to talk me out of it. I'm doing it anyway. Whoo, hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood could have found 1,000 reasons not to, oh, to me, people. I'm doing it anyway. One man was sick of the palsy, born of four, the Bible says. And they were going to take him to Jesus. And they looked, and there's a crowd of people at that house. Could have said, well, we'll come. Hey, well, buddy, we'll come back tomorrow. Bring you tomorrow. No, he said, let's do it anyway. Find a way to get it done. And the Bible says they hoisted the man up on the roof. I'm going to do it anyway. Don't cut a hole in that man's house because he's going to be mad. I'm doing it anyway. And they cut a hole in somebody's house because they're so desperate to get what they need from God. Where's the do it anyway people? Where are the people that are so committed to the cause of God? I don't care if he's mad at me. I'm doing it anyway. I don't care if it rains on his parade. I'm doing it anyway. Hallelujah. And sometimes you have to be willing to pay the consequences of doing it anyway. I've weighed it all out. I'm doing it anyway. If I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. Make fun of me if you want to. Let me tell you, I don't know this for a fact, but I just believe when Christ spit on that ground and he stirred that mud pie up and he put it on that guy, there was some snickering and some laughing and carrying on. You got to be crazy. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's blind. He's got to find his way over there. Maybe somebody leads him, but on his way. This is crazy. This is not, are you crazy? You're not, this isn't going to work. It's never worked in time. You don't put mud pies on people's eyes and it opens. I'm doing it anyway. Another blind man, he's crying out for Jesus, our son of David. They say, shut up. I'm doing it anyway. Where are those people today that are so committed, knowing that trouble lies ahead? See, we're masters of avoiding. Well, I don't want to offend them, you know. I don't want to. We're masters of trying to avoid trouble and don't serve the cause of God. Whew. I'm looking for people who do it anyway. I heard what you said. I appreciate that. I respect you're a prophet. I respect you're the pastor. I respect you're the preacher. I know you're anointed, but I'm doing it anyway. That's fine. And they shut up and said, the will of God be done. They said, okay, now that we see, we can't persuade you. Now let's get down to this, the will of God. See, in the garden, I wish there's some way I didn't have to drink this cup. I wish that I could get around that. If there was just some way, Lord, is there? Nevertheless, I'm doing it anyway. For this cause came I into this world. I'm doing it anyway. Knowing that trouble lied ahead and he could have avoided it, he did it anyway. Woo, my God, clap your hands together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't let anybody influence you against the will of God. Not even me. If God told you something, you go with what God told you. Because what we do sometimes, we don't want you to be in trouble. Now, sister, if you do that, you're going to be, this is what's going to happen. And we try to avoid. But if the Lord said do it, you better do his will and not your own. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break and come back in for morning worship.